You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture themed trophies for six basketball related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
The NBA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet $100, win $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Welcome everyone to the NBA Gambling Podcast, part of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It is Thursday, November 3rd, currently 11:07 on the East Coast. Small schedule here in the NBA as usual on Thursdays, two games on the schedule. But hey, we're here to break them down with you. We'll go side total player props. You know how we do it here. We'll also talk about what we saw yesterday in the NBA, a huge schedule. But joining me first, you guys know him as the superstar of the show, co-host of obviously the NBA Gambling Podcast, the NFL Gambling Podcast, WNBA Gambling Podcast. He's all over the network. It's Terrell, the villain, Furman Jr. Terrell, what's going on, my man? How you doing this morning?
Fuck the Knicks.
Because,
I mean, it... I don't know how I didn't give it out. I don't know how I didn't get on top of this world, because it was on brand for me not only to bet Knicks money line last night, but Julius Randle over 19.5. And not only did the Knicks go up 20 early in that game, but also Julius Randle started the game with 10 points in the first quarter and then proceeded to have 4 points for the rest of the game.
I mean, I think we kind of got away from Knicks first half, Terrell, because that's
Was really the play, like, and that's really what's kicking me, because it's like, dang, the first half really, but it really was a good read. Atlanta's been getting the ass whooped by New York in the regular season for years, so I don't know, they just folded, man. It was probably one of the worst. That third quarter was absolutely terrible, just 10 points in the third quarter, so that was probably one of the worst ones last night. Memphis got it done. I mean, that was there. We could talk Lakers. Lakers got it done in the end with some heroics. Shout out to Matt Ryan for finally having a game-winning drive this season. So shouts out to Matt Ryan for being able – you know, Matt Ryan and Matt Ryan both have one thing in common. They both tied games this season.
Well, they can't get it done.
So, I mean –
only one of them will be finishing this season.
Shit, both of them might not finish how the Lakers is going. But
that's true.
I'm good. I'm here, Moonoff. What's up?
Yeah. We'll get into all the action from yesterday here in a second. But also joining us, the newest – co-host of the NBA Gambling Podcast. He's going to be heavily involved on the SGPN networks doing some fantasy basketball pod with us. Also some writing for the website, but he's going to be joining us on the NBA Gambling Podcast. It's Delonte Smith. Delonte, welcome, man. I'm so glad to have you on the NBA pod, my man.
Man, I appreciate it. I'm glad to be here. Talk hoops with you two guys. Really appreciate that.
Yeah, so Delonte is going to be with us. We're going to be talking about hoops as usual on the NBA Gambling Podcast. Guy that knows his basketball, had a lot of conversations with him offline, and you know, happy to have him on the NBA Gambling Podcast. But to know, I guess maybe a coincidence, but Terrell and Delonte have something in common. They both went to NCANT. Am I correct?
That's right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Class of 2018.
I graduated in 14, so I'm a little older.
That's literally like when I got there. I got there the fall of 2014.
I graduated in the fall of 2014. I got to A&T in the spring of 2010. So I was like a semester earlier.
We had an overlap of a semester.
My girlfriend, she graduated in last year. Actually, she was supposed to graduate during the COVID year and all that happened. So
Yeah.
Man, good to have another Aggie on here.
For sure. We locked in.
Yeah. So last night, guys, big schedule. Picks didn't do that well last night, Terrell, but we had Scott carry the weight for us. Ended up going 2-4 last night. Like we talked about, they really punched us in the mouth, especially in that second half, where they only scored 10 points in that third quarter, like you said. But Terrell, I'll start with you. Anything outside of the Knicks or the Lakers that kind of stood out to you? That Lakers line was pretty tricky. We talked about it was at 3. I think it closed around -2. So I thought,
Money came in late. But money always comes in on the Lakers. So that really wasn't nothing like different for me. I just, the Pelicans just had opportunities. They had opportunity to go up 4. They needed one free throw in Dyson Daniels. And, you know, as soon as he went to the line, I looked at him and I could tell. I was like, dang, you're about to miss both of these. Like, I'm not even going to hold you. He looked like a college football kicker with 0.01 seconds left on the clock, knowing that they kick about to be the one to win the game, and they just walk out there and fold. So I looked at his face, and I could tell he wasn't ready for that moment. And, you know, pulled a cool DeAndre Ayton in that one, but it's all good. I mean, the Cavaliers are legit.
Yeah.
It's all like the Cavaliers are legit. That was a really good win against the Boston Celtics. Boston Celtics wasn't backing down, and that game went back into overtime. And that duo of Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell is really, really good, man. Like, now they just need like a solid wing, somebody that could kind of play two ways. Like, if they get that, they're going to be really – and what's crazy is you look at what Lori's doing over for Utah, and you're like, dog, that's, like, perfect. And they could have just kept Lori in the deal. That's what they need, because even though he's a seven-footer, like, he's playing the wing – like, he's playing as a solid wing right now. So, Caris LeVert, I like him for this team. I think he's a little bit better off the bench. Probably some point they're going to be tinkering with that lineup and probably move Isaac Okoro back into that lineup just for some extra defense and somebody that's really athletic, able to get on both sides of the court. But this Cavaliers team looks legit, man. They look really, really good. This backcourt of Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland is going to be really good. And then the front court, we already know, of Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. So
yeah.
I'm looking forward to this Cavs team. I think they just have a better matchup over this Celtics team that always has struggled with the center position. It's not doing them any favors with Robert Williams being out.
Yeah, and now they have to go up against two guys, like you mentioned, Jared Allen and Evan Mobley in that front court for the Cavs. Delonte, same question to you, my man. Anything that stood out to you outside of the Cavs, Lakers, and the Knicks last night as far as the action?
I mean, a couple of things with Milwaukee, they're still steamrolling everybody. Even with the injuries, they just keep looking more impressive. I was impressed still, I mean, as most people were, with the Jazz. I mean, the Jazz, they were like controlling most of that game against the Mavericks.
Yeah.
And even with Luka being Luka, they still controlled most of the game. And they even, I was on the Mavericks last night, and they were up 6 late, couldn't get a stop. Sexton hit a big shot. I think Conley hit a shot in the corner to cut it. And the Jazz keep playing hard. I mean, they got – I know coming into the season, I think me and you talked about the Jazz being, you know, one of the worst teams in the NBA. But they came out and they just keep playing hard and competing, and they possibly should have won that game. Mm-hmm. Back to the Knicks. I know you talked about the Knicks, but
yeah.
I thought Quickley was real good. He actually led them in rebounds. He had 16.
Nah, there's no way. He had like 7 rebounds in the first quarter. Like, it was really insane. Right. When I looked at the box score, I'm like, because who was he on? I was on I had a Julius Randle double-double prop in there at one point. And I look and I see, like, this is why betting sucks, because why does Emmanuel Quickley come off the bench and able to walk into 7 rebounds like that?
Right. So him with double digit rebounds, that kind of surprised me as well. And I think he should get a little bit more time. I know they got a lot of guard depth, but I mean, his ability to shoot, and I mean, obviously he's not that good of a rebounder as he was last night, but his ability to shoot, he's like one of the better free throw shooters in the NBA. So he's going to be on the court. He could be on the court, you know, in the clutch time. And the play of DeJounte Murray is out of this world. He's just like, he's just so good at defending, and he's even boosting up how you know, the other teams are. I mean, his teammates are defending. Like, it's just contagious. So that's another thing that I saw. Other than he had 5 steals again last night, might be worth, you know, a flyer for some defensive player of the year. If you
what the Knicks need to do is the Knicks need to just go ahead and just shoot up a prayer and get Quentin Grimes back. Like, fully back. I know he played 5 minutes last night, but he needs to be fully back in the lineup, because the issue with the Knicks here is when you look at the players for the Knicks and the people that are on the team, Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish, Emmanuel Quickley, even Obi Toppin a little bit. Like, all of these guys are volume guys that need to get in the rhythm. They need minutes to get in the rhythm of playing basketball. Quentin Grimes is a guy from Houston that can come in there. It doesn't matter if you give him 15 minutes, if you give him 10 minutes, 20 minutes, he's going to come in there and be instant offense as if. He doesn't need a bunch of minutes. He's one of those guys that, hey, you give me the minutes I got, then I'm just be able to do it. And without him in there and without giving him 10 to 12 minutes, you're not getting that person off the bench that can just come off the bench and do those things. Like, all these guys are kind of low-key, like, glorified starters, because they just need the volume and the minutes and the time and play to be able to keep going. And that's really what ended up happening that second half. Nobody could get hot. Nobody could get in rhythm. And they end up scoring 10 points in the third quarter.
Yeah, and what Delonte said about DeJounte Murray last night, especially in that fourth quarter where he was just really defensively, he was locked in, but even offensively, he was really good. I mean, he was forcing turnovers, was able to get easy baskets and really push out that lead, or not only get the lead, but first come back and tie the game up and then push out the lead for the Atlanta Hawks. And they pretty much ran away with it in that third quarter, outscoring the Atlanta Hawks 32-10. Anything else from last night, guys, that you guys want to discuss before we get into the two games here tonight?
I wanted to ask Terrell, do you think they should move Derrick Rose and Fournier to get those young guys some more minutes? Because, I mean, I feel like Derrick Rose and Fournier, I mean, they're not really helping the Knicks get over that hump. I mean, those young guys are going to be, you know, core pieces in the future. So getting them more minutes, I mean, they played, I think, 17 – I think Fournier played 17 last night, and Derrick Rose played 14. So, I mean, that's, you know, 31 minutes that could have went to those young guys to help, you know, develop them and get them in a rhythm.
I mean, I don't think anything they can do right now kind of help. Like, I get you kind of want to give those guys minutes, but you also don't want to kind of mess up the integrity of the team. You still need an outside shooter. You need Derrick Rose to run the offense and get everybody going in that second string offense. Yeah. So I wouldn't necessarily say you got to move on for those guys. Derrick Rose is like a very, very big part of what that team wants to do, especially coming off the bench and just making sure that the offense continues to flow. I think that they need just better rotation. They need to understand their rotation, and Tibbs needs to get everybody understanding what their role is on that team. Am I somebody that's going to come in and be instant offense off the bench? Am I somebody that's just going to get to my spot and the ball comes to me and I just hit a shot? Like, what is the identity of what my role is? And unfortunately, Tibbs is not getting that across. That's why he needs to go at coach. Like, right. A coach needs to be able to get everybody understanding what my role is on this team, what I'm supposed to do on this team. And then, you know, collapses like you had last night don't happen. Honestly, if it was me, and I ain't even trying to be a fan homer, I would have fired Tibbs after last night, because that's just – it just proved another season you're still blowing 20-point leads at home. Like, another season you're still blowing 20-point leads. So, obviously, you can't get it done. I would have parted ways with Tibbs last night.
Yeah, that's a good point.
All right, before we get into the two-game schedule for the Thursday night in the NBA, let me tell you guys about our presenting sponsor, Wynn. Ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards are right at your fingertips with Wynn Rewards on WynnBet. Be on the lookout for the WynnBet Win Hour each hour from 5 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. During WynnBet Win Hour, marquee games of the week will have better odds on WynnBet, giving you a larger payout opportunity. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBet. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBet has what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet 100 and win 100. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBet so they know that we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBet to claim your free bet today. Offers subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 years or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBet is available. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And also, the Sports Gambling Podcast is giving you a chance to win your choice of either an autographed Lawrence Taylor or autographed Brian Dawkins jersey. Contest is completely free to enter. All you got to do is, number one, subscribe to youtube.com/sportsgamblingpodcast. Number two, comment on a video. Each video is a new chance to win. And number three, turn your notifications on so you don't miss SGP contacting you when they pull the winner. The winner will be announced on Sunday's recap show. So make sure to turn on those notifications so you know when you are the winner, when you get your chance of a choice of a Lawrence Taylor autographed jersey or a Brian Dawkins autographed jersey. All right, gentlemen, two games on the schedule tonight in the NBA. First game is going to be the Golden State Warriors in Orlando to take on the Orlando Magic. This is going to be a 7 o'clock Eastern start. Looking at the lines for this game, currently seeing over on WynnBet that the Golden State Warriors are a 9-point road favorite here. Total is sitting at 227 points. Money line minus 400 for the Golden State Warriors and plus 310 for the Orlando Magic. Looking at the injury report for both of these teams, Dante DiVincenzo, left hamstring strain, he is out. That is really the only injury for the Golden State Warriors. For the Orlando Magic, Cole Anthony is out. Markelle Fultz continues to be out with the left toe fracture. Gary Harris also recovering from a left knee injury. Jonathan Isaac, left knee injury recovery. Terrence Ross, I know, left last game for the Orlando Magic with a left knee injury. He is officially questionable tonight for the Orlando Magic. And Mo Wagner is also out tonight with a right midfoot sprain for the Orlando Magic. Golden State Warriors currently are winless on the road so far this season, where they are 0-4. Kind of a slow start here for the Golden State Warriors, where they are 3-5 overall, have been struggling mightily on the defensive side of the basketball. Orlando Magic, same story, have only one win on the season, but for them, this is only going to be their third home game out of the 8 games that they have played so far this season. And their first overall pick, Paolo Pancaro, has looked absolutely incredible so far for them this season. But Terrell, let me start with you on this game between the Golden State Warriors, who are winless on the road, laying 9 points against an Orlando Magic team.
Yeah, they're struggling on defensive end on the road this season, and really for a majority of the season. But last three games, giving up 121.3 points per game. And you sit here and you look about what they're doing on the offensive side of the ball. They can't hit from the outside shot at all. They're shooting 32% over these past three games that they played on the road that they've lost in. And so it feels like that this is that same stretch, East Coast stretch, that the Warriors always sometimes go on. It just hasn't happened normally in the beginning of a season. But I remember last year, it was like a certain point in time after Klay came back where the Warriors went to the East Coast and just seemed like they lost every single game. They lost to the Magic when they were the terrible trash team that they were last year. They lost to, I think it was the Heat. I think it was the 76ers in that stretch as well. Like, they just lost a bunch of games that they probably should have won. Yeah, that 76ers game had nobody playing. There was no James Harden. There was no Joel Embiid. They still lost the game. So I think that is kind of one of those stretches here. And I feel like this is a bit of a get-right game for Golden State, but it's hard to lay 9 points with Golden State, seeing how terrible this defense has been over these past couple of games. Like, they're not forcing turnovers. They're not running in transition. They're just kind of just giving up points and just trying to outscore the other team. So,
yeah.
I'm going to go with the Orlando Magic here, plus nine. I like that Wendell Carter, the size for Orlando Magic, Wendell Carter. We talk about Bol Bol, Mo Bamba down there. They got those seven-footers, Franz Wagner as well. We talk about another guy that's got that height with them. They has a lot of size on Golden State. And I think Golden State's going to try to run a bunch of those guys off the court. However, Franz Wagner and, you know, Wendell Carter, those guys can run. Like, those guys can run in offense as well. I don't think it's going to be as easy as just trying to force those guys off the court. So I like the size that that provides. And I just think that Paolo Banchero is going to be a little bit of a matchup nightmare for Golden State. I love to see how Andrew Wiggins attacks him today. Hopefully Wiggins can slow him down. If he does, then this is going to be completely different. And it's going to be a, you know, a route by Golden State if Andrew Wiggins is able to slow down Paolo Banchero. But before I see that, I'm going to just go ahead and take the points.
Yeah, I think the interesting X's and O's matchup, at least in this game, is what you just mentioned there, Terrell, is that the size of the Orlando Magic, it's probably what's going to give fits to the Golden State Warriors with, you know, what you mentioned with Banchero, with Mo Bamba, with Wendell Carter Jr. I expect them to at least dominate on the boards here for the Orlando Magic. But Delonte, let me get to you here. What's your take on this game between the Golden State Warriors and the Orlando Magic?
Yeah, man. Like you said, with the Warriors, they usually play great defense. I mean, that's what I mean. People see the offense, of course, the ball movement with Steph shooting, but what they really pride themselves on is being led by Draymond on the defensive end. Like on the road, they are like 0-4 ATS. I don't know if you mentioned that. I remember you mentioned their road record, but like against the spread, they're 0-4, 29th in points allowed. They just don't have it defensively. And I think tonight is kind of a get right spot for them with Orlando. I do kind of see Steph and Clay, you know, getting back on track, being able to be in sync. What Kerr has been doing with the lineup, he's been pretty much like trying to get those guys playing time. So he's not like in rhythm with his lineups and being able to play certain guys with other guys. So he's kind of like tinkering with the lineup, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't work. Like Wiseman is up and down with minutes. Like one game he'll play 15 and the next game he'll play like five. So it's kind of up in the air. And that's kind of, I'm kind of weary of that, being that, you know, they've lost five of the last seven and three straight. But I think this is a get right spot for them. Paolo does worry me, like you guys were mentioning. But I think the combination of Draymond and Wiggins on him could kind of slow him down. I mean, he's the only pretty much bona fide scorer that they got. Wagner, Franz Wagner, is another guy who can score. But I like the Warriors here. I think the Warriors get right. I think they win by doubles as long as they can contain Paolo and keep Franz from getting into the paint. I think they got a chance to win by double figures here.
I think the what you just mentioned there, Delonte, is that do we see James Wiseman playing more minutes tonight to maybe offset the link that the Orlando Magic has, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great point that you bring up, because we saw early on in the season where he was getting in the range of around 15 to 20 minutes, but over the last three games, he's only played 5, 13, and 9. So I think that'll be something interesting to watch here tonight for the Golden State Warriors and the rotations that Steve Kerr is trying to, like you mentioned, tinker with and figure out as, you know, the starters, or at least Clay and Draymond, have been around that 30-minute mark. And, you know, other guys are having to step up in that span. But I do agree that this is a get-right spot for the Golden State Warriors. I want to lay the nine here. I think I will. I'm going to go with the minus nine with the Warriors here. I think that offensively that the Warriors just have a little more than the Orlando Magic, especially with the guard play without having Cole Anthony in this lineup for the Orlando Magic. I think that most of their points would probably have to come inside the paint for the Orlando Magic. So I'm going to lay the 9 points here with the Golden State Warriors. On the total here, Terrell, let me start with you on the total, if you have an opinion on that. Currently sitting at 227 over on WinBet. You have any feel for that?
I mean, how Golden State's playing defense right now, I have to go over, especially if I think the Orlando Magic are going to be in this game. I think it's because that the Golden State Warriors just kind of, you know, maybe they – I'd say they kind of get out fast in that second half. Orlando's been pretty decent in the first half, so I think this is a closer game in the first half. And I would actually play a first half number with Orlando. Probably can get that at 4.5. So I probably play a first or five. I probably play a first half number with Orlando. I think they can cover the first half. But, and of course, we know the Warriors' third quarter is just the fact that when the fourth quarter comes around, the Warriors are up big. Do they play with their food and just kind of let some easy buckets to pile up and Carroll, Franz Wagner, and Jalen Suggs, all those guys kind of go in? And so I think I'm going to roll with the over here. I'm going to look to kind of play this number live, get a slow starting first quarter, and then let the number drop and come in on an over. But no, I think that this is pretty solid for an over for me.
Yeah, I agree about the over. Until I see the Golden State Warriors start playing defense, I got to stay with the over here. Even at 227, I think that this is a game where I think we see pace. I think that Warriors will have an easy time on offense. And let's not forget the last game for the Orlando Magic, which was against the Oklahoma City Thunder. They gave up 116 to them. Yeah. And they gave up 114 to the Dallas Mavericks. And then earlier this season in their losses, they've given up around the range of 110. So I think that maybe a Golden State Warriors team total may be worth a play here as well tonight. Delonte, same question. Any thoughts on the total here?
Actually, you guys brought up some interesting things. I was leaning towards the under, specifically the Orlando Magic team total under. I think I seen it at 109.5, maybe 109.5, I think, if I'm not mistaken. I checked that this morning, right before we jumped on. And out of all the games that they've played this year, being the Magic, they've only, like, surpassed that number once, and that was, ironically, against one of the better defensive teams in the Celtics. I think they put up 120 on the Celtics. And being that it's, you know, one of the only games on tonight, I think Steve Kerr put an emphasis on, you know, putting together a solid defensive effort. And like I said, with Wiseman coming in, him and Kuminga being able to control some of those bigs and protect the paint, Wiggins and Draymond, you know, taking on the task of guarding Paolo and Franz, I think it could be a slower paced game for Orlando. Now, the only thing that does worry me that you guys brought up with is, I mean, Orlando's good defensively. I think they rank top 15 in adjusted defensive rating, which, I mean, that's, you know, it's good, but it's not the Golden State. They haven't defended the Golden State Warriors, which is unlike any other offense in the NBA. So that does kind of worry me. But if I had to just make a play, I would probably go with the team total of Orlando under.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. Let's talk about some player props in this game here. Terrell, anything that sticks out to you for player props?
Yeah, I'm looking towards Wendell Carter over 9.5 rebounds. Yep. And just thinking he uses his size on the inside. I'm kind of leaning towards Paolo as well. Paolo is really active on the boards as well. And, I mean, if I'm on the Magic, I feel like I have to. Like, I feel like being on Paolo Banchero's points and, you know, liking the Magic spread or kind of go hand in hand. Like, if you like the Magic, you like Paolo Banchero to have a pretty nice game.
Yeah, I agree about that over on Wendell Carter at 9.5 right now. He's done really well against teams that have struggled against the center position. And that has been, I think, the Thunder, the Pistons, and I believe the Celtics as well. And I think all three of those games, he was in double-digit rebounding. And now you have a team like the Warriors that, again, lack a little bit of size inside, but it'll be interesting if James Wiseman is out there for the Golden State Warriors to kind of, you know, offset some of the length that the front court of the Orlando Magic do have. But I still like that Wendell Carter over 9.5 rebounds in this game. Galante, any player props that you may be looking at in this game?
A couple, one from each team. I'm looking at for Orlando, I'm looking at Wagner's assists. Being that Cole Anthony's out, he'll be more than likely playing like a point forward role. So I think he'll have the ball in his hands more. He's hit over 4.5 assists in 3 of the last 5 games. So that just shows he has the ability to be able to spread the ball out. And the Orlando Magic, they like to run in transition. I think they're one of the better transition teams in the NBA. So I think they'll be on the run and be able to get Franz Wagner over 4.5 assists. With the Warriors, I didn't see Jordan Poole's number. Did you happen to see Jordan Poole's number?
On his points?
Yeah, on his points. Did you happen to see it?
16.5 right now.
Yeah, I'll lean. Actually, I will. I'll play that over. Last game, he only had 9 points on 3 of 10 shooting versus Miami. In that game, Miami did somewhat of a zone defense, and he looked kind of lost, honestly, whenever he was out there. That was a great game also.
I mean, it was a point of emphasis on him for that game. Like, they were going out there, and, you know, the refs said that, hey, we're going to make sure we're called as travel today. And so he really never could get in rhythm. Like, you get three travel calls put on you like that, and that continues to knock you out of rhythm, out of rhythm, out of rhythm. And I think that he definitely does have a bounce-back game in this one tonight, just because of the fact of now they realize that they called it excessively on him, and he's not going to get those calls tonight. He's going to get in rhythm. They're not going to, you know, take the ball out of his hands or anything like that. Like, he's going to be fine tonight. I agree. I like his overall points.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I was leaning towards that. And just he's going to get more opportunity, being that Clay's on that minute restriction. He's going to have more opportunity to play with the ones. He's going to play with the twos. And Orlando, they're not deep in the backcourt at all, especially with the injuries. And Terrence Ross, I'm not sure if he's playing. I think it's a game time decision. So even without him, even with him, I still like Poole to bounce back and score over that.
Love it. Terrell just mentioned that last game against Miami, there's an emphasis on Jordan Poole and the palming or the double dribble, or you might want to call it, that he got called for three times in that game against Miami. So that was really interesting to see in that game. But yeah, I like those plays. Franz Wagner so far this season, without Cole Anthony in the lineup in four games, he's had four or more assists in each of those games. In two of those four games, he's had five or more. So if you're able to find him, maybe 3.5 or, you know, 4.5, if you want to add plus odds, I think that's a great way to look at this game, or for as far as player prop for Franz Wagner. Anything else, guys, before this game, before we get over to the second game of the night?
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I got a I don't know if it's a long shot. I didn't see a double-double for Bobo. He's had a double-double in four of the last five, and he scored in double figures in three of the last four. And, you know, if Kerr doesn't play Wiseman and Kuminga more, then he could snatch, you know, double-digit rebounds pretty easily. And then he's going to have opportunities being with Isaac out and some of those other wings. Like, he's 7 foot, of course, but he plays more so the forward role on the team. So I could see him getting ample opportunities to grab rebounds and score some points.
Yeah, I currently don't see that listed right now. I think maybe because he's coming off of the bench, you probably get that closer to
game. Yeah, I didn't see it either, but that's something I'll be looking at for sure.
Yeah, 100%. All right, guys, let's get over to the second game of the night. It's going to be the Denver Nuggets headed to Oklahoma to take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Both teams currently sitting at 4-3. This is going to be an 8:00 Eastern start. Looking at the lines for this game, currently over on WinBet, Denver is a 6.5-point road favorite here. Total sitting at 229, minus 260 on the money line for the Denver Nuggets, and plus 210 as a home underdog for the OKC Thunder. Looking at the injury report for both of these teams, currently for the road team, the Denver Nuggets, I'm currently seeing Bones Highland is questionable tonight with a left hip strain. Ish Smith is also questionable tonight with a right calf strain. And that is it. And then a pretty clean injury report for OKC. Obviously, the only one that's on the injury report is Chet Holmgren, who we already know is gone for the season. These two teams matched up earlier this season in the battle of their Northwest Division, where the Denver Nuggets took care of business in that game. They won that game 122. Well, they didn't take care of business, but they won that game 122-117.
No, they didn't take care of business because they didn't cover.
Yeah, and they lost me money too.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I was on OKC. But I was just saying they didn't cover because in 2022, these teams have played five times, and OKC has covered all five times. Won outright twice, but covered all five times.
Yeah, and they match up again. And for whatever reason, it seems like Denver just struggles within their own division. We talked about that when we were doing the division previews. So far this season, Denver is just 2-2 against their division. We saw that opening night loss to Utah Jazz. They did beat OKC, but they didn't cover the number like, you know, Terrell just mentioned there over the last five meetings. But here we are again between these two teams. Last matchup, like I mentioned, 122-117 victory for the Denver Nuggets. In that game,
Nikola Jokic notched a triple-double. He finished up that game with 19 points, 16 rebounds, and 13 assists. Jamal Murray chipped in with 16, 21 for KCP. And then Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 28 points for the Thunder, also finished up with 7 assists. Josh Giddey did play in that game, and he will be a GOAT tonight as well, where he had 19 points, 12 rebounds, and 6 assists. But back at it here tonight, like I mentioned, 6.5-point road favorites here for the Denver Nuggets. Delonte, let me start with you on this game between the Denver Nuggets and the OKC Thunder. Let's start with the spread here first. What are you thinking about the spread here with a minus 6.5-point road favorite?
And I like OKC. They're 6-1 ATS, 5-1 as an underdog, 3-1 at home. They get Giddey back. They match up like we just talked about. They match up pretty well with Denver. And another player who's been playing awesome on the defensive end is Lou Dort. Over the last three games, he had matchup assignments with Paul George, with Luka and Paolo, and he held them all to their season lows. So I think tonight it's going to be interesting who he matches up with. I'm assuming it's Jamal Murray. Mm-hmm. So if it is Jamal Murray, I would lean to his points total under, and I would lean to Michael Porter's going over because they don't have another defender who can pretty much contain Michael Porter. But as far as the spread, I like OKC. They're pretty good at home. Giddey's being back in the lineup. They're going to get out and run, and I think that they have what it takes to cover the spread tonight.
Yeah, OKC is one of four teams so far this season that is 6-1 against the spread. That's going to be Portland, OKC, Cleveland, and the Milwaukee Bucks. And like Delonte mentioned, they're at home so far this season. Again, very small sample because we are early on in the season. OKC 3-1 against the spread, where they're covering by an average of 9.6 points in those matchups. So Delonte locks the OKC Thunder to cover the spread of plus 6.5. Terrell, same question. Which side are you leaning here?
I mean, they just kind of have this Denver team nugget when this Denver Nuggets team number when it comes to against the spread. Like I said, in 2022, these teams have played five times this year, and OKC has covered every single game. And now you have to wonder, wait, how did they play five times this year? The season just started. Yes, we're going back to last season as well in 2022. They have still covered this number when OKC didn't even have SGA playing in all those games. Like, they just find ways to cover against this Denver team. And it's because Denver cannot defend. Denver struggles on the defensive end of the basketball. When we just talk about the last three games, OKC has been up defensively. Denver has come down defensively. OKC is fifth in opponents' three-point percentage at 32.4%. Denver is all the way down at 23rd in 36.6%. You go here into points per game, and they're doing it there as well. 110.9 points per game in the last three for OKC. It's 11th, and Denver's all the way down at 17. At 117, and it's just because that's not the emphasis. Like, that's never been the emphasis on defense in this Denver Nuggets team. You're not going to get a defensive effort from Jokic. You may get a big body in the lane, but you're not going to get a really strong defensive effort. You're not going to get that from a lot of guys in this lineup, whereas you sit here and you look at OKC, and you have a whole bunch of guys, again, trying to compete to make sure they stay on the roster, because how that OKC team is so fluid that you may not even be on the roster the next day. So, yeah, I think that this is a spot where OKC just kind of outplays, plays hard. Denver comes lacking and just kind of lets them do whatever they want on the offensive end, and then Denver tries to take the game back when it matters. So, yeah, I'll go ahead and I'll play the OKC with the number. This feels like a pretty chalky play. I feel like everybody's on OKC, but it just seems right. I can't lay this amount of points with this Denver team right now.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're right. I mean, you mentioned that, you know, going back to last season, the last five matchups that, you know, they've covered the number, and a lot of those games were without SGA and even probably Josh Giddey in those lineups. And you have all your guys healthy playing in this game. And what Delonte said as well is that I think Luka came in after their matchup against OKC and said Lou Dort is one of the, what, three best defenders that he's gone up against.
Mm-hmm.
Over the course of his career. So I think that, you know, when you match up Lou Dort on whether it's Jamal Murray or whether it's Michael Porter Jr., you know, that's going to put a lot of pressure on, you know, Nikola Jokic to do what he did in the last game where he put up that triple-double for them to win that game, but they still only won that game by 5 points. So
Yeah, I agree with you guys. I think just there's just certain matchups and certain teams that just have the number, like you mentioned there, Terrell. That Thunder is just one of those teams that the Nuggets struggle with. So I like the plus 6.5. Let's go to the total here, then we'll get into some player props as well. Currently sitting at 229 for this game here. Terrell, let me start with you on the total. What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I'm going over in this one too. I mean, I can't not go over in this one. It's just, the defensive effort by Denver has been so bad this season. And then you combine that with the fact that OKC is just letting anybody and everybody grab rebounds. Like, you just look at who they played and what their rebounds total. They've let Luka get 16. They let Rudy Gobert be a 14-15 in both of his appearances. They let 12 for Wendell Carter. Like, they're letting all the big men in every single game. Their best rebounder, whoever your best rebounder is getting those rebounds. And so I think that that's something that's going to end up hurting them and why they won't be able to pull away in this game, but just keep it close. So, yeah, give me an over.
Yeah, if you kind of just look at the pace numbers as well over the last five games, OKC – on the season are number five, but over the last five games, number seven, and Denver right around league average at number 16 as far as pace goes so far this season. So that only bodes well towards, you know, with more positions, obviously more points being able to be scored in this game. Delonte, same question. Thoughts on the total here? Currently sitting at 229.
I'm on the same side, man. I like the over. This in the first game, the total, I think it closed at 226.5. And even with Denver, basically, they shot 50% from three in that game, and OKC shot 40% from three. So now, obviously, it's unlikely that it happens again. But it got well over that number. So they only adjusted by what, 2 or 3 points. So I like the over on the road this season. Denver has been giving up 125 points per game. Like, so that's pitiful. Like like Terrell was saying, that's not good. And at the rim, I think he hit on this as well. If the guards of OKC, if they can get to the rim, it's no protection back there. Like Joker is a great player, but he's not a good defender. They don't have a rim protector. And that shows in the stats. They're 27th in rim percentage defense, which is basically the amount of the percentage of baskets that are made by the opposition at the rim. They're giving up 66.1% at the rim. And if SGA, Giddy, Dort, if some of those guys can get to the rim, they're going to get fouled or get a basket, possibly both. So I like the over. I think that both teams get up and down with the rim protection of Denver being slight. SGA, they're going to have a field day at the rim. So give me the over.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about the last game there that, you know, it went, I think they scored it, what, combined 239 points in that in that game. But if you even go down further, yeah, they made 23-point shots, did the Denver Nuggets, but they also missed 13 free throws in that game where they only shot 58.1% from the free throw line. So when you're getting, you know, freebies, you got to knock them down. Obviously, that only helps the over as well. The clock stopped and getting free throws there. So, yeah, until I see, again, another team like the Golden State Warriors, like the Denver Nuggets, put up an effort on defense, I think you got to continue riding the overs here for at least these two teams as well. So, yeah, I think we're all on the Thunder here, also on the over. Let's get into some player props here. Terrell, I'll start with you. Anything that sticks out to you as far as player props?
Yeah, I see the captain in the chat asking about Josh Giddey points over 12.5. I think it's a pretty solid play. I'm not mad at it. Just how bad this Denver Nuggets defense is, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for a lot of players on this OKC side of ball to be able to score the basketball. And if you look at Giddey's three games he played against OKC, he has 14, 11, and 19. So he's been over this twice. Now, a couple of those games probably was without SGA in the lineup, but I think SGA can really just open things up more for him as the, you know, the attention that he's going to, you know, command. And honestly, there's not a one-on-one on-ball defender that I like on this Denver Nuggets team. Like, there's nobody that I think that can just guard anybody on the other side one-on-one. So, yeah, no, go ahead. Give me Josh Giddey over 12.5 points. I like that one. And then, I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I'll just take a stab at either Michael Porter Jr. or Aaron Gordon's rebounds because they're giving OKC's giving up rebounds to the best the best rebounders on the other team. They're giving those rebounds up. Like, there's so many rebounds out there that they're giving up to the other team. So I'll take a stab at, you know, maybe Aaron Gordon. He had a double double last time. Maybe he gets another one this game, or even Michael Porter Jr. because he's another guy that kind of hangs by the rim to make sure he touches the basketball.
All right. Yeah, I like those. You know, we talked about how OKC has given up those rebounds to the either the power forward position or the center position. I think that last game was a prime example where Jokic was able to grab 16, and he's usually had success grabbing rebounds against the OKC Thunder. I'll pull up those numbers.
I got it right here. So yeah, go ahead. If you go through them, they gave up 12 to 10 on Carter. You got 16 to Luka. You got 18 and 14 to Zubat. You got 15 to Rudy Gobert, 16 to Rudy Gobert. You got 11 to Anthony Edwards, 16 to Joker, and 10 to Aaron Gordon. This team is just not a good rebounding team, and they give it up to the best rebounders on the other side of the ball. So I like backing them. That was the reason why I was on Wendell Carter when they played the Magic. Yep. And I'm going to continue to do it. I don't want to do Jokic because he's kind of more of the chalkier play.
Yeah.
But to come in and possibly get a pretty good number on Michael Porter Jr. or Aaron Gordon, I like that.
All right, Delonte, any player process stick out to you for this game?
Yeah, that one didn't stick out. But when you read out the numbers, I think I'll be on that, too. A couple of them that did stand out to me was Michael Porter Jr. I don't know if it's at 16.5 or 17.5. It was at 16.5 when I looked this morning.
But his 16.5 for his points. Yeah.
So I'll go over his points. I think that he'll have a good night. Lou Dort, I'm assuming that he'll be on Jamal Murray just because – Jamal Murray is going to be controlling the game for the most part. And OKC doesn't have another wing defender like Lou Dort. So I think Michael Porter Jr. is going to, you know, make a concerted effort to get the ball. They're going to make a concerted effort to get him the ball and get going. So I'll be betting on Michael Porter Jr. over 16.5. And I do like that Giddy prop. I mean, that Giddy points over for all the reasons that Terrell had. And I think that SGA had 28 in that first matchup. So KCP, he's gonna be pretty locked in to make sure that it doesn't happen again. And I think that leads to more opportunity for Josh Giddey to be able to get some points. So I would be betting Michael Porter Jr. over 16.5, along with that Josh Giddey over 12.5 points prop.
Love it. Anything else for this game, guys? As far as OKC and Denver goes, before we get into lock and dog.
No, I'm ready. Let's go.
Yep, let's do it.
All right, let's get into our lock and dog for this schedule. Only two games to pick from, so, you know, we got to be a little picky, maybe throw out some player props as well as your best – or, sorry, for your dog or your lock. But here, I'll kick it off here with my lock for tonight. I'm going to go with the over in the Denver Nuggets in the OKC Thunder game. That number is currently over on WinBet at 229. It talked about, I think the one thing that does kind of stick out is the pace that these two teams do play at. You know, the last couple matchups, we've seen a lot of points being scored earlier this season, like we mentioned a couple weeks ago, 117, 122, 239 points. Delonte led out the numbers there, the three-point shooting, but also the Denver Nuggets weren't able to knock down free throws, and I think that should improve them for them here tonight. So I think we see pace, and I think that points will be put up in this game. So I'm going to go Denver Nuggets and OKC Thunder over 229 for my lock. For my dog, I'm going to go with a small puppy here, player prop here, double-double here tonight. Wendell Carter Jr. currently sitting at plus 110 to get a double-double. I think that he'll have success grabbing those rebounds for the Orlando Magic. I think they can get into that range of 10 to 11 to 12. Mentioned that the Warriors do struggle keeping big men out of the box or boxing them out and not letting those guys get rebounds. Like I mentioned, teams like Boston, Detroit, OKC, where he had double-digit rebounds, did Wendell Carter Jr. I think the Warriors are another prime example of that. And we know he can put the ball in the basket as well. So for my dog, I will go Wendell Carter Jr., double-double, plus 110 as my dog for tonight. Delonte, what do you got for us for your lock and dog for tonight?
My lock, I'm going with Jordan Poole over the 16.5 points. like we went over, 9 points last game, three of ten shooting. Orlando doesn't have a defender coming off the bench or even that starting that could be able to control what Jordan Poole does. He's going to have the ball. We all know he's going to have the ball in his hands a lot. I think he's going to have a bounce back game. Like you said, they're not going to call that traveling or palming, whatever they want to call it. Not going to call that again tonight. I think that Golden State is going to score some points. I think they're going to have a big night. So with all that lines up with Jordan Poole having a good night with Klay being on that minutes restriction. So I look for Jordan Poole to have a big night for my lock.
All right.
So that's 16 and a half, right?
Yeah, 16 and a half right now. Okay, cool. I'm seeing.
Yeah.
And what do you got for your dog?
For my dog, I'm going OKC. We read off all the numbers. Even if we want to date back further from last season up until this point, OKC is 63.2% against the spread since last season. So they match up well with Denver. I don't think that Denver will be able to control some of those guards being able to get to the paint. They're not going to shoot 50% again from the three. So I like OKC. They might even sprinkle some on the money line. They might win it outright.
Love it. All right. So lock four, Delonte Poole over 16 and a half and Thunder ATS and sprinkle a little bit on that money line as well. Terrell, what do you got for us for your lock and dog?
All right, let's close this out strong for my lock. Let's go Michael Porter Jr. over 6.5 rebounds, minus 132. And this is just going back to, again, I've gave you all the numbers, all the rebounds. They've given it up to the best rebounder. They've given it up to the second-best rebounder. Michael Porter Jr., second-best rebounder on the Nuggets. It's pretty easy. Just play the first and second rebounder against the Thunder. They're going to get theirs. Doesn't matter. So Michael Porter Jr. over 6.5. I think that's a great number. For my dog, I was going to go OKC. I'm going to pivot.
My bad, brother.
And it's all good. I'm going to pivot. And I'm going to go, do I want to be safe or give you the one with value? I'll cut it in the middle. Give me SGA, score 30 points plus 140. SGA is right. A dog. He's had pretty good points totals against this Denver Nuggets team in the past. He's gone out there giving them 28 and 29 in his last game. Had one game with 8 in between there, then another game with 27 in there. He's right there on the cup and on the threshold. He's been playing out of his mind this season. I'm going to just go ahead and continue to back SGA. So give me SGA to score 30 at plus 140.
Love it. All right, that's going to do it for this edition of the NBA Gambling Podcast. Short schedule here in the NBA, two games on the schedule, but we'll be back tomorrow with a huge schedule as usual on Fridays in the NBA. So look out for that pod, and we'll be trying to go around the same time so you guys can tune in on YouTube, watch us live, and on Twitter. But Terrell, anything else before we get out of here, my man?
No, I'm good. Make sure you tap into all of us with the network. I'll be back later to do some Sunday football props.
All right. And Delonte, the newest member of the NBA Gambling Podcast team, happy to have you aboard, my man. Let the people know where they can find you on social media, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. I'm on Twitter at XXLonteXX. I put a lot of stuff out on there. I'll be looking forward to tapping in with you guys on some NBA stuff. So yes, I'm on Twitter giving out picks and just running off some stats. I like to look at it from a more like analytical approach. So I like numbers. So that's what I'll be bringing, try to bring to help contribute.
Yes, there we go. So make sure to also follow the Twitter account for the NBA Gambling Podcast, at SGPN NBA. Like I mentioned, we'll be back tomorrow for the Friday games in some form or fashion. All right. Good luck with your picks. Let's break these books off and let it ride.